Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
The media wants us to believe that only Republican rhetoric, that's the only thing that can incite violence. We've had 10,000 arrests this year connected with the rioters, $2 billion in property damage. We've got mobs chanting, "We hope you die," to two police officers who were almost executed in the line of work, while you got other folks blocking access to emergency medical care for those deputies. And yet the New York Times and the Washington Post and those on the left want us to believe that these protests are mostly peaceful. If $2 billion and 10,000 arrests and chanting, "We hope you die," is mostly peaceful, I hope it doesn't ever get violent.
Hey, welcome to the podcast. And with that, a stunning truth hidden by the mainstream media is now known. The bill for the riots across the country, folks, and this is just through June, according to the insurance industry, might want to sit down for this one. Upwards of $2 billion with a B. This is from Axios. The vandalism and looting following the death of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police will cost the insurance industry more than any other violent demonstrations in the country's history. The protest took place in 140 U.S. cities. Now, keep in mind, folks, these are the mostly peaceful protests the media told you about. They're not that mostly peaceful. Yeah, not really, no. Upward of $2 billion worth of damage, far eclipsing the record set in Los Angeles in 1992 after the acquittal of police officers brutalized Rodney King. That's adjusted to 2020 dollars. They say the number could be as much as $2 billion and possibly more, according to the Insurance Information Institute. And they are like nothing America has ever seen before. The protests related to George Floyd's death, Axios writes, they're a liberal publication, by the way, are also different because they're so widespread. It's not just happening in one city or state, it's all over the country, said Loretta L. Waters of the Triple I, that's the Insurance Information Institute. And this is still happening, so the losses could be significantly more. Here's what else they write. All previous catastrophes, as classified by the insurance industry, happened in a particular city. This was the first that happened not just in multiple cities, but in 20 states. In other words, we've never seen this before as a country, not on this scale. For the first time, PCS has designated the civil disorder and those that followed across the United States from May 26th to June 8th as a multi-state catastrophe event. Again, so these numbers, upwards of $2 billion in damages, that's just through June 8th, folks. It continued through July and August. It's still going on now. And they expect it to get worse. This last line is chilling. They're thinking that the toll will be at least $3 to $5 billion for the riots generally. And let me just read you this line. The insurance industry is rolling up its sleeves in anticipation of potential unrest following the November election. Well, of course they are. I mean, look, these rioters, they're openly meeting the people organizing this. I mean, look, the Daily Beast just a few weeks ago was invited to their Zoom call. Over 50 organizations, anarchists, rioters, whatever, planning, quote, street unrest, unquote. So they are so unafraid of the Department of Justice, those organizing this, they invite reporters to their Zoom conference calls. As Portland reporter Andy Ngo tweeted, he's probably the only real journalist covering these riots to any great extent. In Portland, where the most violent rioting occurs, the U.S. attorney has brought the same charge in recent weeks to all suspects. One count, civil disorder. Okay, so the U.S. attorney, that's the Department of Justice. That's federal. He says, we won't break up these militant networks until there are more serious charges of sedition. Yes, and it has to be for plotting and organizing sedition. In other words, the leadership. But he's right. The DOJ is only going after this piecemeal, small little penny ante charges for individuals in the streets. You won't stop this till you break up the fundraising networks. Again, where's Bill Barr? How many times a day do I ask this? Where's our attorney general? And, you know, if your liberal friends or those who don't listen to this podcast are absolutely baffled by the idea that the riots are violent, you want to know why? That Axios report, it only ran on CBS Evening News. Anchor Nora O'Donnell covered it. This is according to Newsbusters. But she's the only broadcast journalist to report the statistic on air at all. ABC and NBC spiked it. I guess they're still on the mostly peaceful narrative. Folks, and the idea that we don't know who this is. Yeah, we do. I mean, that take your pick. You could do the Daily Beast Zoom conference to plan the post-election violence that I just mentioned. Or how about this? We now know that our Department of Homeland Security knows exactly who these people are. You know how we know that? They told us the truth? No. Federal government never does that. No, somebody leaked an internal email to the only mainstream media outlet that would cover this. One across the ocean in another country. The London Daily Mail. They got the email. What did it say? That the same people are organizing these riots. They are using the same tactics. They are organizing them across state lines. And it is the same people putting them on in city after city once you go up the chain. Well, God, are you telling me the Department of Homeland Security knows who these people are? Go get them. Yep. The email was pretty specific. Antifa and anarchist groups, i.e. left wingers. Why won't they get them? Here, I'll help. Here's a simple way to start. We know for a fact from the Princeton University study now a couple weeks ago, Black Lives Matter riots, for instance, there have been 570 of those violent riots over 220 cities, right? Okay. Well, there's a violent group, a group with violence. How about we go after their funding? Now, I'm just a talk radio host. I'm not an investigator. But I know they're funded through Act Blue because they're not an official nonprofit, so they can't take the contributions. The money for Black Lives Matter goes through Act Blue. That is a Democrat a fundraising arm of the Democrat Party. It is connected directly to the Democrat Party, and it helps distribute money to groups that support the Democrat Party, Democrat philosophies generally. How hard is this? Go get the funding. It'll go right back to the Democrats and their big donors and supporters. Look, I just did it. Oh, I don't mean to yell, folks. I just don't understand this. And folks, if it's this organized, darn Skippy, it will continue after the election if the Democrats win. You think Democrats will give up a source of power like this? People they can send to the front lawns of people they disagree with to terrorize them? You know how much power that is? They're not going to give that up. You know what this election's shaping up to be, folks? A choice between anarchy, chaos, and destruction, and having a third industrial revolution. The numbers that are coming out now are just, they're jaw-dropping. They're insane. They give me chills and they scare me because I'm afraid people are going to go to the polls and say, well, the president's kind of mean sometimes. He tweets and mean things, so I'm going to vote for somebody else. And you know what you're going to be throwing away? Heck, let's just take the stats from last couple of days. Wages for manufacturing workers just hit an all-time high. That's what happens when you close the NAFTA loophole to weaponized goods from China, subsidized by the Chinese Communist Party, and pointed directly at certain industries to shut them down, steal the jobs, so they can then be reopened in China. That is not capitalism. That is subsidization of goods. And you know what it says? China is so bad at capitalism, their government has to subsidize goods at below the cost to make them and ship them through the NAFTA loophole in order to beat us. We can do this. That's what these manufacturing numbers show. Again, wages for manufacturing workers just hit an all-time high in August. And then did you see this? Average household income, average in the United States of America, according to the Census Bureau, was up a whopping, insane 7% in 2019 before COVID hit. Don't let Biden and Harris, or is it Harris and Biden? What'd she call it? The Harris administration with Joe Biden. Whatever. Don't let them reverse the Trump tax cuts. Oh my gosh. Did you see what else just came out? Folks, there is nothing that gives me chills, literally gives me chills, more than hearing what you're about to hear. I love a up by the bootstraps story. I love the defeat of poverty with capitalism. And that's exactly what caused this. Listen to this.
Well, a government report released this week is giving us a sense of how well the economy was doing before the recession brought on by the pandemic. According to the Census Bureau, the number of people living in poverty last year fell to a record low, 10.5%. That is the lowest level since estimates first started being kept back in 1959.
It's a stunning achievement, folks. And you know what caused that? Trump tax cuts. People don't even understand this. I bet you 3% of our society could explain this to you. Trump tax cuts. They were deep tax cuts for corporations, yes, particularly Main Street corporations and middle class people. Yeah, that all did it. That was part of it. But that wasn't the main thing. Do you remember the trillions of dollars, the media whining about the trillions of dollars selfishly parked overseas by American corporations who wouldn't bring it back home? And they wouldn't bring it back home because we had a massive tax on it at the border. We were the only industrialized country to do so. So foreign gain profits, trillions, just sat in bank accounts. Well, the Trump tax cuts let that money come back into the country without the massive penalty. And it did return. The Wall Street Journal would go on to report $350 billion a quarter in new investment from that money. And the same article in the Wall Street Journal said each $1 billion would generate an average of 7,000 jobs. Wow. That's why you have wages going through the roof. You've got manufacturing coming back with Trump closing the NAFTA loophole at the Mexican and Canadian borders. And now you've got this investment money. People always wanted to invest here. We were the hottest economy in the globe. And that's why you had so many jobs. And when you have a lot of jobs, what happens? Wages go up because people have a choice. All boats rise. Look, I know COVID has caused a lot of economic problems, but you can't take this away from Trump. Lowest ever unemployment rate for black people, for blue collar workers, for women, and for Hispanics. It gives me chills. That is capitalism, right? That's freedom generating prosperity. I'll never forget this. At one point, the Washington Post reporting business expansion booming. And you know who was leading it? Black and Latino women in the Trump economy. Folks, capitalism lifts all boats. It does it every time it's allowed to. We get the government out of the way. And now on top of it, the lowest poverty rate since 1959, and it wasn't a Democrat. And you've got Kamala Harris and Joe Biden running around saying only the 1% benefited. Bull. You just saw it right there. Lowest recorded poverty rate since 1959. End of story. We're done here. I love what Charles Payne had to say about this on Fox News.
Now we get back to that term shared prosperity. I think it's a goal we should all shoot for. And I don't think that we have to try to achieve that in this country by bringing down any particular group of people. You know, for the most part, poor people in America are not poor because they're rich people. And if we find a way to be able to put to create an economic backdrop where everyone has an opportunity to increase their fortunes, that's what this country's been built on, and it's still there. I mean, we see it there. We see it with these 2019 stats straight. So I know politics are tough. I know politics of envy work, and I know there's a difference between how people feel and sometimes the stats. You know, you can read off these numbers, and a lot of people will say, I don't feel that way. Fine. Yeah. But the numbers are the numbers, and I think we got to be careful, very, very careful, to sway away from what made America the greatest country in the world in a relatively short period of time over.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Politics.
I'll say it again. This is the prosperity versus chaos election. We can have the third industrial revolution, or we can have chaos and anarchy. Speaking of which, that's exactly what they're having in Minneapolis. This is not the Babylon Bee or the Onion, by the way. This is real. Listen to this headline. Minneapolis City Council alarmed by crime surge after defunding police. Remember, that's where George Floyd died. And the mayor, remember, turned a police precinct building over to the rioting crowd. And the only way to make everybody happy was to defund the police, remember? In July, the city council took steps toward dismantling the city's police department, including approving the removal of $1 million from the police department budget and reallocating it toward the health department to hire violence interrupters who are intended to defuse potentially violent situations. How's that working out? Not so good. Minneapolis City Council members, this is the New York Post, who just 2 months ago moved to eliminate the police department, sounded the alarm during a Wednesday meeting about a surge in crime seen by their constituents. You think? Council members pressed Police Chief Medaria Arredondo about the uptick in crimes, including daylight carjackings, robberies, assaults, shootings, and now they're even street racing. Quote, residents are asking, where are the police? Unquote. Said council member Jamal Osman, noting that constituents' calls to the Minneapolis Police Department have gone unanswered. Well, what did you think would happen? That is the only public safety option they have at the moment, he said. Minneapolis PD, they rely on Minneapolis PD, and they are saying they are nowhere to be seen. Well, you cut their budget. Oh, God. You pushed them out. You derided them as practically criminals and racists. It was terrible. 20% of the force retired. I mean, of course no one's responding. By the way, you know, no one's applying to work there either, so they're not filling these open positions. Listen to the council. They're like little kids. They really thought you could just defund the police, lose 20% of the department, and everything would be fine.
Minneapolis City Council members demanding answers as crime spikes across the city, with shootings reaching a five-year high. But after pledging to, quote, dismantle the police just a couple of months ago, the city council is now sounding the alarm and blaming the police.
The crime is actually spreading out.
What people want to know is MPD's response.
Residents are asking, where are the police? Because that is the only public safety option they have at the moment.
We have officers on the street telling people that they're not enforcing crime. What do we do?
I know that it's not only the police department, but that is who people are looking to right now.
Joining us now with the reaction to the least surprising story in the history of the country, Minnesota GOP congressional candidate Lacey Lee Johnson. He's running for the seat currently held by Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who is also called to dismantle the police. Lacey? We have a rise in assaults, robberies, homicides, as well as property crimes and arson. Is that what happens when you tell the police they're the problem and you cut their numbers?
It is exactly what happens, Brian. The hypocrisy and failure that we're seeing from the city council is astounding and deeply troubling.
You think? But folks, this is exactly the Biden plan. He signed on to the ACLU pledge to free 50% of federal inmates. He wants to end most instances of bail bond. So that means you go right back out on the street when you commit a crime in many cases. And Biden's plan for the police is exactly the same as the Minneapolis City Council's. They didn't totally defund police. Biden denies he wants to defund police. Well, the Minneapolis City Council didn't defund them. They reallocated part of the budget, $1 million, which is huge off a police budget, to the health department. That's exactly what Biden wants to do. Remember this interview? It's with a podcaster who's had significant throat problems. So that's why the questions sound like this. He's speaking through a computer. But listen.
So my generic point is
that. Do we agree that we can redirect some of the funding?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, and the other day he came out and said Biden did. Now he wants to grab your guns. Just some of them. Don't worry. Not all of them. Look, If Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has no doubts he'll be marching to her tune, you shouldn't either. Did you hear what she said? The liberal socialist congresswoman from Brooklyn?
I think overall, we can likely push Vice President Biden in a more progressive direction across policy issues. I think foreign policy is an enormous area where we can improve. Immigration is another one. Criminal justice is another area where we can pursue a lot of progressive direction. You know, there are some areas where we just fundamentally disagree, but that's okay. You know,
By the way, speaking of Biden and what he will or will not do, or whether he even knows where he is, isn't it a little freaky that three times in a 48-hour period, Biden and Kamala Harris referred to the operation they are running essentially as a Harris-Biden operation, a Harris-Biden administration? She went first.
A Harris administration together with Joe Biden.
In case you thought that was a slip-up, she'd repeat that phrase twice in that same two-minute span, and then Joe did essentially the same thing the next day.
Harris-Biden administration is going to relaunch that effort and keep pushing further to make it easier for military.
Joe is just a placeholder, folks, for a woman who dropped out of the primary race with between 2-3% support. She's being foisted on us. I can't believe these two are even running. I can't believe Joe is running in the mental state he's in. Listen to this. A local Florida reporter asked him, hey, Joe, are you, you know, the president, President Trump says you must be taking something to hold yourself together, you know, mentally. Is that true, Joe? He doesn't deny it.
You've got a debate coming up. It's in 2 weeks. President Trump's accusing you of being mentally shot, his words, even suggesting that you're taking something. How do you respond to this pre-debate accusation, and are you looking forward to the debate?
I'm looking forward to the debate, and he's a fool. The comments are just foolish. Get ready, Mr. President. Here I come.
Like so much else that should be part of the debate, Joe's mental health just isn't. Democrat privilege. Hey, I want to hit this, y'all, because I love this story because it shows how much of what passes for our news and our national discourse is fake. The message from Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi this week, California is burning because of climate change, and climate change has caused the fire somehow, even though we've had several dozen people arrested for setting them, and that's the deal. And this is new, and it's man-made, and it's climate change, it's all that. No. You know how easy it is to disprove that? The New York Post did it. This was a piece written by Bjorn Lomborg. It's called Sorry Solar Panels Won't Stop California's Fires. Lomborg actually believes in climate change. He says it's just not as widespread as many scientists claim. You know how he debunked this whole fires started caused by global warming thing? He went back into the archives of the New York Times and other newspapers. It's all right there. Listen to this. Raging fires, wilderness infernos have always been a part of California life just like they are today since newspapers were written in the United States. He writes, it helps to know, and this guy's a climate scientist, it helps to know that California wildfires used to be much bigger. This past decade, California has seen an average burnt area of 775,000 acres. Before 1800, however, California typically saw 4.4 to 11.9 million acres burn every year. Wait a minute. This has been going on for 220 years? Yep, even longer. In other words, he writes, up to 12% of the entire area of the state, had its modern boundaries existed in the 18th century, burned every year. Old newspapers were filled with descriptions of terrible fires, he writes. That all changed after 1900 when fire suppression became the norm. They do control burns. And fire declined precipitously. In the last half of the 20th century, only about 250,000 acres burned annually. But he goes on to say that changed because they stopped doing the control burns. He concludes, clearly then, we used to have much more fire before global warming and climate change. Even this year's record-breaking 2.3 million burnt acres is about half the lower end of a typical year in earlier times. Yep, this burning in California was before the Industrial Revolution, before the widespread use of cars. We wouldn't even have that till the early 1900s. I bring this up only to prove to you how much of what you experience as your reality is contrived, is fake, is false. It starts with a false premise. What do we spend, two news cycles talking about these fires, three news cycles? As if it's something new in human history. When the archives of the very big media organizations reporting this are filled with this stuff. Why? Because they want you to focus on this, not that. And so much of what passes for our reality, it's just fake. It's what they want you to focus on. It's what they want you to see. It's not what's actually important or even relevant or what's really going on. You are so manipulated. And if you walk away from this podcast with nothing but that and understanding it, then I'll have done my job. Speaking of which, I want to wrap up with this. This is a watershed event. This is one of those years later when the First Amendment is largely gone. When the elites have finished with what appears to be their plan to outsource the destruction of the First Amendment to Silicon Valley, and you look back, you'll remember a point. Most totalitarian countries have this, where you say, you know what? That was a watershed event. I should have seen that for what it means. To me, this is it. Dr. Scott Atlas was censored on YouTube. Okay, Dr. Scott Atlas is no medical slouch. He's a medical doctor, a Stanford University medical professor, and was chief of neuroradiology at Stanford University Medical Center from 1998 until 2012. He's now on the Trump Coronavirus Task Force. Can you imagine for even a moment if the other members of the Coronavirus Task Force, if Fauci or Dr. Robert Redfield were censored? Oh my gosh, the media would lose their mind. But they feel comfortable censoring Dr. Scott Atlas on YouTube. Here's what happened. He gave an interview in which he questioned the need for universal social distancing and also questioned some of the models, the death prediction models. Now, keep in mind, he would nail this. The death prediction models were absolutely wrong by a factor of at least 10. We know that because of the Stanford-UCLA study that confirmed this last week that the media is studiously ignoring. So, if anything, Dr. Scott Atlas's track record is far better than Fauci's or Redfield's or any of the talking heads on the mainstream news networks that are still allowed by social media and Google owns YouTube to drone on endlessly, even though their track records are essentially getting almost every part of this wrong. So the interview that Scott Atlas did, where he questioned the need for universal social distancing measures, was removed from YouTube this week for violating community standards. I'll let Dr. Scott Atlas tell you where this signals we are as a country.
We've already seen the near destruction of objective journalism. When you start censoring science, you're removing, fact. You're really removing the basic, way we decide what's truth and what's not. But we're sort of teetering on the edge of what is done in third world countries here, the countries we used to be proudly distinguished from. We need to have a reliable news, media. We need to have scientists who are able to question.
Yes, we do need to question. But apparently, that's not allowed anymore if you're perceived to be the wrong person on the coronavirus task force.
People used to think that the Earth was the center of the solar system, okay? The Earth was flat. But these things actually are proven, and we ought to be able to accept differences in science and go forward and prove it. We have a bunch of people in this country now, and we are really at the hysterical end of things, that, somehow it's all about the science, but when you cite the science and it disagrees with what those people's impressions of the science are, you are deemed, you're not allowed to go on.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Please subscribe and share it with like-minded friends and family across the country.
baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.